Which team is better set up for the future, Houston Texans or Indianapolis Colts, as they prepare to play a must-win game in Week 18? Bills, Dolphins. Do the Dolphins have enough firepower after some injuries to take down the roaring Bills? And can the suddenly white-hot Justin Fields-led Chicago Bears prevent the Green Bay Packers from making the playoffs? All that and more on the Week 18 Viewer's Guide Preview. Let's get into it. It's Friday, January 5th. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Show. It is a hell of a day to talk ball, and joining me to do just that is Jorge Martin, Yahoo Fantasy's own. Jorge, what's going on, buddy?
So good. Feliz Año Nuevo. Happy New Year. I mean, it's just so good. So good. I mean, to talk about football anytime. Even week 18, where half the quarterbacks are sitting.
Yes. Look, I'm number one, happy to be talking about week 18. It's going to be weird. It's going to be wild. But I'm excited to break it all down with you, and I'm happy to have you back on the show. I don't think we've had you on the show since you officially joined the team here at Yahoo. At least I don't think, but wanted to congratulate you on a great season here with us, doing not just a lot of content stuff, but a lot of behind the scenes stuff with our fearless leader, Jason Klobaka, with Mauricio Castillo, Mo, the hammer. That's what we call him back on the editorial streets. The guy who really tries to get the best out of me from a written perspective. So he's got a tough job, but wanted to congratulate you on a great run here with us this year, man. And happy to have you.
No, it's been awesome. It's been awesome. And it's been so great, kind of, you know, gosh, learning so much from Mo and from Jason on just kind of like, you know, a whole new system, and making sure everything's just as great, is excellent and the best it can be out there for all of the millions of people. I mean, yeah, like there are times when we're sending out those alerts that go to everybody's phones, and it says this is going out to millions of people, and you got to catch yourself at that point. It's like, man, got to make sure everything is right. So, and thankfully it has been. So just a great, great season, and just incredible to be a part of this team. Just feeling so blessed, and yeah, can't wait for the whole new year.
Yeah, well, we are the blessed ones, that's for sure. Hey, let's talk week 18, Jorge. Number one, fantasy championships have come and gone for almost everybody out there. And listen, if you are still playing your fantasy championship in week 18, Jorge, I don't know if you want to deliver a message to the people. But I mean, all you need to really do is look at the list of quarterbacks that are playing, and you should know why you should not be playing. More than ever, you should not be playing a championship on the final week of the regular season.
Oh yeah, you know what? With Blaine Gabbert playing quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs instead of Patrick Mahomes, and Easton Stick playing quarterback for the Chargers instead of Justin Herbert, can you imagine how much people thought that they were going to be watching that game on Sunday Night Football for the AFC West? And yeah, so yes, delivering a PSA for everybody out there who's playing Week 18 next year. It's very easy. Switch it to week 17. I have one league that's about a 10-year-old league that the first year we inadvertently defaulted to week 18 and regret. Oh, then it was week 17, and regretted it ever since. Regretted ever and changed it immediately the next year, and everybody's been so much happier since then. So, because also look at the fact that Christian McCaffrey is going to be sitting this week, and if he's ridden you this whole season, and even if you grabbed Elijah Mitchell, he might not play either. So, gosh, is too much Wild West going on for me on this week.
It is definitely way too much chaos to be playing fantasy, but we are still going to preview the games in our binge, stream, and skip format, and heavy emphasis on skip on some of these games. We will talk about those games, but we will be very, very quick about them, because it is still like a truly electric week 18. We've got Tom Pelissero from the NFL Network let us know on Twitter that it's a historic week 18 ahead for the NFL. 20 teams are still in contention for a trip to the Super Bowl, which ties for the most with 1 week remaining in the last 41 years since a record 22 in 1982. So, I mean, there's a lot on the line this week, most especially in our binge games, Jorge. So let's start with the first one here, Saturday. You know, it's, I think you could argue the game with the most stakes, Houston Texans at Indianapolis Colts. It's a 47.5 point over under. The Texans are 1.5 point favorites. Here's what's at stake in this game, what they're playing for. Houston, I mean, it's pretty simple. This is a win and end game. Houston wins, they're going to the playoffs. Indianapolis wins, they're going to the playoffs. Both these teams can still win the division if Jacksonville loses the following day to the Tennessee Titans. But again, regardless, winner in, Jorge, loser out.
Oh, it's like a game seven. It's awesome to see that. Just do or die, get it in there. And you know what? The other great thing, this game's indoors, so we're not going to be dealing with some elements. There's some games out there that are dealing with a little bit of weather going on. Mm-hmm. No, indoors, you got C.J. Stroud being able to throw the ball to your guy, Nico Collins. It's going to be fun times. And kind of like a different, there's kind of strength versus strength, because you got, the Indianapolis Colts, surprisingly, their secondaries played pretty well of late, and they've gotten good pressure on the quarterback, and the offensive line for the Texans has been a little bit banged up. So that's one thing. But yeah, I look, and then on the other side, I mean, gosh, the Houston Texans, their run defense has been really good, and Jonathan Taylor going up against him, and he looks like he's back to being Jonathan Taylor. I think it's going to be just a fun matchup.
Yeah, Jonathan Taylor, the last 2 weeks, has 72% of the team carries. He has just two targets, but he has clearly been the bell cow back with Zach Moss banged up. That makes all the sense in the world. So he could definitely be saddled up for a pretty big workload in this game. Nico Collins, really, you're right. He had 7 catches, 80 yards. Like, you'll take that last week in your fantasy championship. But, you know, I think he's saddled up for a big game in this one as well. I'm curious, you know, again, because like winning in here, it's huge for both of these teams, right? That's awesome. But man, I mean, if I'm a Texans fan, if I'm a Colts fan, I'm feeling great, you know, about the future of both of these operations. I mean, producer Colin even lets us know that this is the first time all year that Houston is not playing on a 1 p.m. Eastern kickoff, which is nuts. And by the way, it's not going to happen next year, okay? The NFL will be putting C.J. Stroud in some primetime games next season. That being said, Jorge, I'm curious just to ask you this. Like, again, who wins this game, whatever, that's aside. Which of these two teams would you rather be over the next, let's say, 3 to 5 years?
Oh, the Texans. Because, I mean, gosh, you've already got, you already know you have the quarterback. Mm-hmm. The Indianapolis Colts think they have the quarterback. I mean, we saw great things from Anthony Richardson, but he played four games and only two full games. C.J. Stroud, I mean, lit up some great defenses this year. I mean, he was absolutely fantastic at home. I want that. And they've got a great path. You know, they've got a great, some great building blocks on defense. Will Anderson has been a real good pass rusher. You got some great cornerbacks. And also, you also know the Houston, they've got two building block wide receivers in Nico Collins and Tank Dell, who we're going to be fighting over next year for, drafting them much earlier than they did, than we did this past season.
Man, I feel like I'm just looking at defensive rookie of the year odds right now. This is, just an article on sportsline.com. I mean, I feel like Will Anderson needs to get this award. I know that Jalen Carter's had a great year, but theoretically, and he's still the odds-on favorite, but that Eagles defense is awful. I'm not saying it's all Jalen Carter's fault, but you know, they've even been kind of rotating him on and off the field. Like, I think Will Anderson needs to win this award, especially when you put in context of how much he, not him as a prospect, but just that pick and the process that they got to him was panned, right? Like, on draft day. And he's been a big reason that this defense has been, it has been, I wouldn't even just say passable, but has been really good in moments. Obviously, again, we talked about the lack of kickoffs beyond 1 p.m. Eastern. People aren't watching the Texans defense. They're watching the Eagles defense, even if it's not very good. They're still a brand name player from a big school, all that stuff. So, I don't know. I just think Will Anderson and all these guys have been transformative to turning around the Texans. I think I'm with you that I would rather be Houston, but man, I at the same time, I love what Indianapolis has built, and I kind of think they have a pretty good shot to win this game. I just, the Gardner Minshew specter is always in the back of my mind at least.
It's so true. I mean, you know, he could throw for 303 touchdowns and throw two picks in there, and then just all of a sudden get, you know, derail things late. You also look at their offensive environment, offensive ecosystem. Gosh, Jonathan Taylor, we already talked about him. He's a guy that I think we're going to be getting in second round of drafts next year and be very happy with it. You got, you know, Michael Pittman, and Josh Downs has been so good. And, you know, and if Anthony Richardson is the real deal, yeah. And you've been talking about Shane Steichen being one of the best, best finds as the new head coach. They're really set up schematically. It's just, if you hit the home run with Anthony Richardson, then they're just going to the moon. It's exactly. And can you imagine what the AFC South's going to be like with Anthony Richardson, CJ Stroud, and Trevor Lawrence, hopefully taking another step forward. That's going to be fun. Not too many 1 p.m. games for those guys.
No, I don't think so. Man, if Will Levis can turn into a guy, then we're really talking here. So who do you think's winning this game? Pick, you can pick it. Let's just give outright winners instead of against the spread, because it's a 1.5-point spread. Who do you think's winning this game?
I'm going to go to the Texans. I think it's really kind of like a flip of a coin, because this game being in Indy, they're going to have that loud crowd in front in their favor. I just think that CJ Stroud's going to make one play, because he's been absolutely fantastic in some late moments. So I think he's going to make one play and set him up to possibly win the division, or at least get him into the playoffs.
I have nothing but like just a feeling on this one, but I just kind of feel like the Colts win. So
I can
see
that.
It's a very interesting game, that's for sure. Another interesting game is the final game of the week. We'll go all the way from Saturday to the end of Sunday here. Buffalo Bills, 3-point favorites going into Miami to take on the Dolphins, 49.5-point over under. Here are the stakes for this one, and they are primarily on the Buffalo side. If the Buffalo Bills win this game, they clinch the AFC East title and the second seed. However, if they lose, the loss eliminates them from the wild card round if Jacksonville and Pittsburgh win in week 18, which is not impossible, by the way. Pittsburgh is playing a Baltimore, B or C squad, and the Jaguars are playing the Titans. So they're going to know that going into Sunday Night Football. The Bills will obviously know the stakes of this game. So it's going to be really high if those two teams win, because then it's basically a win and in or lose or out and out situation for the Buffalo Bills. On the other hand, for the Miami Dolphins, they obviously clinch the AFC East and the 2 seed. If they win this game, a loss just drops them to the 6 seed, and then they'll go to Kansas City in the wild card round. So, man, again, this game should be absolute fireworks. But Jorge, I'm kind of like mixed on how I feel about both these teams right now, man. I mean, Buffalo, they're winning games, but I wouldn't say their offense has played to the height of their powers, especially the last couple of games. And on Miami's side, man, it's just one injury after another. Bradley Chubb out for the season now. He's their second main pass rusher. Jalen Phillips also out for the season as well. He tore his Achilles against the Jets. So they're just dealing with a ton of injuries. That's not to mention, obviously, guys like Jalen Waddle and Raheem Mostert, who did not play in week 17.
Yeah, both of them didn't practice yesterday, in the first day of practice. So, to be limping to the end, and I was really looking forward to this game, because Miami being at home, last year they were really, the schedule makers kind of hurt them, because they had to go to New England, they had to go to Buffalo late in the season, but mm-hmm. All of them were coming to them this time of year, and I thought it was going to be a great setup. They're going to be just a great offensive environment. It's going to be about 70 degrees on Sunday night, possible rain earlier in the day, but I mean, it should be a perfect environment for a great football game with a lot of passing. But I mean, I think it's pretty clear that the Dolphins need the running game to be working for them. And it looks like the Bills are playing better defense lately. So it's beyond the flip of a coin, because I think you could tell a story for either side on this one. The Bills are so desperate. They need to win to get in. The Dolphins could be like, hey, you know what? We're already in, but I think they should want the number 2 seed. I'm having real trouble, a lot of trouble with this game. It's there's a part of me that says that Miami should win at home, but I think there's something in the back of my mind that says that Josh Allen is not going to let them lose this game.
He's playing like that right now. You know, he's got the plays where he's just hair on fire at this point. Yeah. Not saying he's playing perfect football. In fact, sometimes, there was a play where he was almost looked like he was going down in the open field, and he like pitches the ball to Khalil Shakir.
Yes.
Against the Patriots. It's like, geez, man, like I get it. It worked out that time, but there's shades of like the no, yes, like thing with Josh Allen sometimes too, which look, I think they do need that version of him at this point. This roster, I think we kind of went a little too far. You know, the royal we went a little too far with like, oh, is the Bills window over? Is the roster kind of aged out? It's certainly not as strong as I think it was maybe, I don't know, in 21 or certainly like the beginning of the 2022 season, but this defense is still 11th in success rate since week 11. They're fourth or third in EPA per play allowed. Like, this is still a good stop unit that I think can put up a pretty good effort here against the Miami Dolphins. And not to mention, last time we saw these two teams play, and this was when they were both more so at the height of their respective powers, the Bills waxed the Dolphins. And I feel like we're not talking about that enough in this game.
Yeah, the score was 48-20. I mean, it was not competitive, just not competitive. I mean, and that was only a couple weeks after the Dolphins laid the wood to the Broncos. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we were really looking at that as possibly, two of the best teams of the AFC, kind of shaking out, you know, fighting together. So this, that's the thing. They have that. Josh Allen has that potential to go nuclear and to go absolutely loco and just lay waste to this game. And I honestly think he needs to do that. I'd still love to see him take fewer hits. I mean, he is sliding a little bit more. He's diving a little bit more than I'd like to see, because you could get your shoulders hit that way. But he's staying back there. And you know what? One of the things, I was rewatching the game against New England, and there was one play where he just missed Stephon Diggs deep, where I think we were, and Diggs had two steps on the defender. He just overthrew him by a length. And it was just like, I think there's been a couple of those, man.
Like in the Chargers game, same thing. There was at least two plays on like big over routes where if the ball placement is just a little bit better, we're not having this like, what is going on with Stephon Diggs conversation.
Right. So I really want to see him going out, but you pointed out a good thing that I think it was Tim Graham from the The Athletic, you know, asked the question, and then all of a sudden they asked the question about his decreasing snaps, and then all of a sudden they shut down the interview. But then he wrote a long piece showing that, you know, where his snaps are much lower than Shakir and Gabe Davis, and you don't want that for your number one guy. He you need him in there.
No, I'm with you. Like, I think this is a game where they're going to need Steph Diggs. You know, Sean McDermott even said that in a different spot this week, like they're going to need, he knows they need him down the stretch. This is down the stretch. This is when they need him. Miami has had injuries in the secondary. They have had some spots where they've been flamed by receivers, especially on the inside. And the Cowboys, one of the big criticisms from that game where they went to Miami and lost in week 16 was, they had a couple like big shot plays to CeeDee Lamb in the slot against Kader Kohu, and then they didn't go back to it, right? Like they ignored that too long, and you just saw that creep up a little bit in the week 17 game. So I think I'm hoping that we can see some mismatches here with Diggs, whether they move him inside, which they've done a decent bit this year too, because Gabe Davis is obviously just a pure outside receiver. So maybe even Dalton Kincaid, who ripped off a long play against the Patriots. There are matchups, I think, for Buffalo to take advantage of here. For me, I am picking Buffalo in this game. I think they win. I think they get the AFC East seed. I just like right now with all of the injuries that Miami is dealing with, I think Buffalo is a slightly better team.
I think you're right. I'm with you on that one. It's a tough one to, you know, when the Rams were on their sojourn to St. Louis, I switched over to the Dolphins in the AFC. And so I always have a little bit of Dolphin love for them. But yeah, I think it's gonna be too much. I'd love to see Tyreek Hill put up a big game, something similar to what CeeDee Lamb did last week. But I don't know if it's possible. I mean, we don't know how limited he is from that ankle. And obviously he had that personal issue at his home yesterday that was kind of scary, but thankfully everybody's okay.
Yeah. Tyreek Hill needs 248 yards to set the receiving record this year, which normally it's like, I mean, all the incentive stuff is a little bit like, okay, well, you know, I'm not sure how much is really matters, but normally with any receiver, I'd be like, okay, 248 yards. I don't even really need to talk about. With Tyreek Hill, you kind of need to talk about. Like, he could get 250. There's no question about it. So he is potentially in line for a big game there. Next game up here, another AFC South matchup. Look at the AFC South, just so up in the binge category. And look, on paper, this one's not really that spicy. Jacksonville Jaguars going to take on Tennessee Titans in Tennessee. Jacksonville is a 4.5-point favorite, but this is a big consequential matchup, especially on the Jacksonville side. A win clinches the AFC South title and the 4 seed for Jacksonville. A loss eliminates them if Denver and Pittsburgh win in week 18. Again, not impossible. The Broncos take on the Raiders. I think the Raiders are a better team than the Broncos, but still, they could win that game. And then the Steelers, obviously, like I said, they're taking on Buffalo, or they're taking on Baltimore's B squad. The 7th seed would go to Pittsburgh, and then the AFC South would go to the winner of Houston and Indianapolis if Jacksonville loses this game. So Jacksonville, either they find their way into the playoffs here, they win the division, and they, it's like a, you know, sort of a, hey, we didn't come in as hot as we want, but at least we made it. Or this is an all-time, one of the all-time, or at least all-time in 2023 season perspective, bag fumblings here by Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, it's going to, well, number one, you want to make sure that Trevor Lawrence is healthy for this game, because he's been dealing, he's got the ankle that I'm sure is not completely healed up, and then the shoulder, and hopefully he's completely recovered from that concussion. So it's going to be a tough one, but man, I mean, they need to win this game. I mean, and could this game be a sneaky shootout with both pass funnel defenses? It's muy interesante. I think there could be some shots. I think the practice windows have opened for both Zay Jones and Christian Kirk. So could they come back and kind of add to Calvin Ridley, possibly himself going, having an outside shot at 1,000 yards on the season. So, there's a part of me that wants to see Trevor Lawrence in the playoffs again, and with a chance to shine and, get it. You know, I'd like to see Trevor Lawrence and CJ Stroud get in. So, but I don't know. I don't know if that'll be the case, but it should be. This has sneaky fun potential, though. I think this one that might have a little bit of weather issues. I was looking at it, in the 40s. Might be a little bit of wind, but not. It doesn't look like it's awful wind.
Yeah. You know, southeast at this point, you're going to get a little colder days. But hey. Last time the Tennessee Titans and Jacksonville Jaguars faced off, Calvin Ridley did go for 103 yards and 2 touchdowns, which if he did, I was saying this on my show with James Coe, he would end the year then with 1,000 yards and 9 touchdowns, because he has 910 and 7 right now, which is pretty funny, because it'd be like, oh, wow, Calvin Ridley, great season. He had 1,000 yards and 9 touchdowns. And like, anybody who would had Calvin Ridley in fantasy knows that that journey was not smooth across the course of the year, which is just a reminder that end of season stats sometimes do lie to you. Or just remember, like, there's volatility with this position. This was an extreme example this year. So I don't know. He's and this is definitely a good matchup for these Jaguars receivers. Christian Kirk, they activated his practice window as well. Although typically when you look at Tennessee, they are weaker on these outside receiver spots. Last week, JSN couple weeks ago, we saw JSN have some moments, but like DK had the big touchdown catch when they faced the Tennessee Titans. That's sort of the matchup you want to exploit, outside receivers against the Tennessee Titans. So I do like Ridley potentially going for a big number in this one. Plus, talk about incentives. That guy's got all the incentives in the world to try to finish the season strong, get himself a big contract either from this team or another team in free agency. So I don't know. Do you think Jacksonville can pull it off? Because I will tell you this, there's no incentive for Tennessee. Jorge, however, Vrabel hates losing. He told us that as much this week. He said losing, it effing sucks. He did not self-edit himself as I just did. So can you see Mike Vrabel holding these Jacksonville Jaguars down, or do you think that Jacksonville can pull it off and make the playoffs here?
I think he's going to make it an ugly game. Because that's what he does. And I think, and he pulls out some ugly wins that way. I think if they're going to do that, it's got to be on the back of Derrick Henry. And he is not, he's not closed the season well. A couple of tough games against the Houston Texans and their great run defense, and the Jacksonville Jaguars also have a really good run, good run defense. Potential for his last game as a Tennessee Titan, he has talked about it a little bit. So, but I don't see him breaking through. I still think the Jaguars just have a little bit too much talent. And Trevor Lawrence maybe makes a couple of plays, because Tannehill, I don't know how much he's got left in the tank, and it's potentially his last game too.
Yeah, I think if Will Levis was healthy and starting in this game, I might give, just on like the freak factor, I might give the Titans a little bit more of a chance. But I just don't. Yeah, I don't think Tannehill's got much left. I really don't need any of these. Like, all right, a solution for a team in 2024. How about they bring in Ryan Tannehill? Just like, no, come on, we're shooting for a little higher than that in 2024. One of the most interesting teams to track in 2024 is going to be the Chicago Bears, who are the final game of our binge category here. Bears at Packers. Packers are 3-point favorites. It's a 44.5 point over under. Pretty simple what they're playing for here. Green Bay, they win and they're in. That's it. They can backdoor their way in if they lose this game, but these are the things that they'll need to happen. They will need a Vikings loss to the Lions, a Seahawks loss to the Cardinals, a Saints loss to the Falcons, or a Tampa Bay loss to Carolina. So let's not have any of that nonsense. Let's not think about all that. And a couple of those games will be going on. Because this is a 4:25 start. The Seahawks and Cardinals game will be going on during that game. So look, they don't want to be in a position where they're scoreboard watching either. Just win this game. I think they can win this game, although the Bears have been playing great football of late, Jorge.
Oh my goodness. Their defense has like done a complete 180 from where they were the first several games of the season. I mean, you can't run on them anymore, and it's tough to pass on them. And Justin Fields, I mean, he's got 26 plus fantasy points in three of his last four games. So he's really showing out at the right time. And him and DJ Moore have just been making beautiful music throughout the season. And, you know, the defense for the Packers has been beatable. See, I mean, they were supposed to be a run funnel defense and be good on the back end, but even with Jaire Alexander, they've been getting beaten up in the secondary. So I think this game, I mean, being in Green Bay should, and you know, with everything to play for, they should have it. The Bears just strike as that desperate team, similar to the Lions last year in Week 18, where they went into Green Bay and punched them in the nose, and which I don't think anybody expected the Lions to win in Green Bay when the temperatures were sub freezing, and it was and they did. They won an ugly game, but and it could be that way. Though I think one thing that is going to be playing in Green Bay's favor is their pass rush really lit up last week against Minnesota, and if they could do that, because Justin Fields has been better in limiting sacks, but he still hasn't been perfect. So if they get home, it could be a little bit different story.
Yeah, this has to feel a little deja vu-ish for the Green Bay Packers, even though obviously it's a different quarterback. There are a lot of young players here that weren't, a lot of rookies that are playing for the Packers right now that were not present in Week 18 last year. But it's pretty similar. A division rival kind of feeling themselves on the up and up. They're not going to go to the playoffs. Just like the Lions last year, the Bears are that team this year, right? And they could easily just make this pretty miserable for the Packers. Although, again, the Packers can still back their way in. They could not back their way in last year. It was a win and in situation. I've got my eye on Khalil Herbert in this game, who has just come in with a couple of monster finishes here at the end of the year. 112 yards and a touchdown against the Arizona Cardinals in Week 16, and 124 yards and a touchdown against the Atlanta Falcons last week. 20 carries, 18 carries in back-to-back games. And the Packers defense, that is an awful unit. If they might be the worst defense in the playoffs if they make it to the playoffs, especially in the NFC, but honestly, just across the whole spectrum in general, they might be the worst defense that would make it to the NFL playoffs, which is, I think, an issue when they go against one of these big boy teams if they do make it to the postseason. But it could be an issue against Fields and Khalil Herbert if he's running the ball like this. Right. And DJ Moore, you're so right. Like, you saw he posted the Joker meme after not making it to the NFC Pro Bowl. So, you know, he's motivated to go out there and add more onto an already dynamic season.
How does he not make the NFC Pro Bowl team? I mean, geez, he's going to be one of the toppers. He's going to fit. I don't know how many receivers that made the team, but I don't see five or six receivers better than him in the NFC.
CeeDee Lamb, Mike Evans, AJ Brown, and Puka Nacua. So, I mean, listen, those guys all had great years. You know, Brandon Ayuk, yeah. A lot of people were talking about, like, he should have gotten a Pro Bowl nod. It's tough. You're always going to have somebody left out in the cold. And that's almost why, like I said this morning, I'm in on the, like, Brandon Ayuk, that was a snub. I'm happy that that's part of the discourse, but don't come at me with like, well, who are you taking out? Cause I don't know. Those guys all had great years yeah, too.
Exactly. Yeah. It's hard to take one of those. Gosh, I don't know who I would take out in that one. It's a tough one. And I mean, gosh, he had one of the single greatest games of the season, that 200 plus game on Thursday night earlier in the season, where it was just,
you do not have to remind me that game is, I still maintain, the only reason that Jason Fitz beat me in the FFL flex challenge.
Oh, and but DJ Moore's your guy.
I know. Well, listen, it's always the worst when you're hurt by those that you love most. You know that always makes worse. Yes. All right, who's winning this game? Chicago Bears, Green Bay Packers. Who's winning this game, Jorge?
I think I'm gonna stick with the home team on this one. I think the Packers are just gonna make, you know, Jordan Love will make one play enough to win this game. It'll probably be a field goal game.
I think it will be close, but I do just trust the way Jordan Love is playing right now. Now, this defense can put you in a bind in Chicago. They've got a great thing going there. It's probably why they're going to retain Matt Eberflus as the head coach, at least according to all reports. But, man, the way Jordan's playing right now, he's been great here to close the season. It sounds like we might even get Christian Watson back for this game. Yeah. So they should have almost all their guys at their disposal, which is good news for the Green Bay Packers. All right. Let's move to the stream category. We spent most of the show talking about those games because those really are the most like consequential ones, although we've got a lot at stake here. For the first time ever, Jorge, I split the stream category into two groups. The first one, it matters. Okay, this game matters. The second category is it matters, but does it? Does it? Because there's at least one side where you're like, I don't know about all this, or there's some teams that are not necessarily playing all their guys. So let's start with the stream category and the it matters games. Pittsburgh Steelers going to Baltimore to take on the Ravens. 4-point favorites are the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road because we know that the Ravens are not playing their guys. Tyler Huntley's starting. They're going to run the risk that they do the 2019 thing all over again, where they run through the regular season, Lamar wins MVP, and they get waxed in the first round because they weren't feeling all the way up to it. I'm curious to see how John Harbaugh handles that situation when it comes time in the divisional round for the Ravens to play again, but that's a topic for another day. Let's focus on the Pittsburgh side of this. Here's what they're playing for. A win increases their playoff odds going into Sunday to 73%. They're not winning in. They would get in with either a Jags loss to the Titans or a Bills loss to the Dolphins. So again, they're not a winning in, but they're also not eliminated. If they lose, they can backdoor their way in. If the Jags lose, the Broncos beat the Raiders, and if Houston and Indianapolis doesn't end with a tie. So the Pittsburgh Steelers, if they win this game, will not know their fate by the end of it. I'm just curious, how are we feeling about the Steelers right now? You know, the Mason Rudolph experience, what's kind of your temperature check with Pittsburgh?
You know, I will say one thing. Christmas Eve, when they played Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer after that game, was one of the most surreal moments of the season this year. And it just, gosh, it told everything. I think they're going to be able to make enough plays because the Ravens are just going to be sitting everybody. And I don't think they're going to care that they're going to lose, everything's set up for them. Plus, the Steelers have rediscovered their running game. I mean, they used both Najee Harris and Jalen Warren the last 2 weeks, you know, just really expertly, and it's been wonderful. By the way, Najee Harris kind of like salvaged me, you know, me being on him preseason. He salvaged that for me by actually doing well in championship week for anybody who got there with him as their RB2. But
He had a pretty nice close of the season, honestly. I mean, you know, He was better than Miles Sanders, who I think was the guy I hyped up in that episode. So you're smarter than me, Jorge.
I think we both liked Rashad White in that one. So that was one thing, but that made it a tie. But no, I look at this one. They're going to be playing all their studs. Mason Rudolph and George Pickens are making, you know, great music together. They were over 300 yards in the last two games and three touchdowns. It's been, I look at this one with the Steelers having everything to play for. Their defense is going to be TJ Watt and the crew are going to be in Tyler Huntley's grill all afternoon. And gosh, the Melvin Gordon season, you know, play him in DFS this week because it's 2016 all over again. So yeah, party like it's 2016. I think the Steelers fire them up in this one, and I think they win. I think they could actually win by a touchdown in this one, just because the don't care factor for the Ravens.
Agree. By the way, just since you mentioned Melvin Gordon, I should save this for the next time we talk about the Ravens seriously in the playoffs, but I'm probably going to forget. There is a chance we're looking at two-time Super Bowl champion Melvin Gordon. Because he was with the Kansas City Chiefs last year. And I think he famously said, "I didn't do shit. I got carried all the way, baby," or something like that. Maybe he does it again. Although I guess maybe he can contribute to the team with a big week 18 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I'm definitely interested in that game. I'm with you that the Mason Rudolph to George Pickens connection has been a great development for this offense. Let's move to the next game here. Tampa Bay Buccaneers going to Carolina to take on the Panthers. They're 4.5-point road favorites. Pretty simple. Tampa Bay wins. They win the NFC South.
And you know what? To further the narrative that Andy Behrens sent out during the preseason that Baker Mayfield was going to be the guy to be this year's Geno Smith. So does he finish it against a really good pass defense? I honestly think he's going to do it on the shoulders of Rashad White this week, because the Carolina Panthers, you can run on them all day long. And so I think there's going to be a lot of handoffs to him, a lot of dump offs to him, maybe some big plays to here and there to Mike Evans, just to remind them that he can pass the ball. But this one, I don't see the Buccaneers losing, though crazy things seem to happen in week 18. So you just never know, but I think it would be too crazy for this one to go anywhere but Buccaneers.
I'm with you, man. I'm in on that. I think that they win this game. It is worth noting, last time these two teams faced off, you mentioned the pass defense in Carolina. Baker Mayfield, 202 yards, 48.3% completion rate, one touchdown, one interception. So wasn't like his most banner day of all time, but they've really gotten some things. Like, they've gotten the best out of Chris Godwin lately too. They're getting more and more out of Rashad White as a true receiver there too. So I feel really good about Tampa Bay. I think they win this game, and then it kind of brings moot the rest of the NFC South stuff. But we'll still talk about those teams here in a second. Next game up, though, Dallas Cowboys, 13.5-point favorites going into Washington to take on the Commanders. Cowboys still have a lot to play for here, though. They can't just rest on their laurels. A win clinches the NFC East and the number two seed for them. A loss plus a Philadelphia win locks them into the five seed. So they have a lot to play for here. Washington does not. You know, theirs is just about draft positioning, which we will talk about later. So Dallas has to play their guys here, and I feel very good about them taking down what's left of the Commanders team.
Could CeeDee Lamb, you know, just kind of look at the 227 that he put up last week and say, I'm gonna beat that?
You know? I mean, dude, he might. he really might, because if you look at, like, number one, you know, this team fired Jack Del Rio and that hasn't helped at all. Okay, this defense has still been terrible, but I can absolutely see it. I saw JP Finley, who covers the Commanders for NBC Sports Washington, say that he's getting a sense that we might not even see some Commanders veterans play this weekend. Like, I mean, that would definitely, because we know that they're on, like, hey, this coaching staff's done. Like, ownership can come down and be like, yeah, we're not playing these guys. Maybe some defensive players like Jonathan Allen. I'm sure the organization wants the second overall pick. They want to lose this game. I think ownership is probably going to be like, hey, Ron, we know you want to win and all that stuff, but like, we're trying to lose this game. Okay. I don't know if that extends Terry McLaurin, who's 54 yards away from another 1,000-yard season. Terry's definitely been voicing his frustration lately, as he should. He should voice it more than he's voiced it so far. So I don't know if that extends all the way there, but yeah, Dallas is in a good position to win this game. That's for sure.
Yeah, they're going to win. But isn't it weird that with that big a point spread that, I mean, you just think that they could, that the Commanders being at home, some veterans playing for, you know, those who aren't sitting and maybe playing for a contract with somebody else next year, looking to put up some good tape. Maybe they make it, you know, make a touchdown game or something like that. I mean, I think the Cowboys are going to blow them out, are going to win, but the Commanders could make things ugly. Do we know if Jacoby Brissett is starting or Sam Howell?
No, it's going to be Sam Howell.
Okay, so it's back to Howell. So, ooh. Okay, maybe forget about that.
Yeah, forget about it. It's been a brutal end of the season for Sam Howell, that is for sure. All right, next game up here, Seattle Seahawks at Arizona Cardinals. Again, this game matters a lot. The Seahawks are mere 2.5-point favorites. Basically, a win keeps them alive for a wild card spot. It does not guarantee them a trip to the playoffs, but a win plus a Green Bay loss to Chicago, which, as we said, is not a guarantee for Green Bay. They could lose that game, and this will all be happening at the same time. So Seattle will be playing their hearts out against a suddenly plucky Arizona Cardinals team.
Yeah, that one, and at home too, on top of it. So running units on both sides could be getting a lot of work in this one. I know Kenneth Walker's a little bit banged up, but between him and Zach Charbonnet, they should be able to do whatever they want with the Arizona Cardinals. And James Conner, just bless his heart.
What a dude, man. Yeah.
He has just been absolutely, I mean, what a finish. And I'd love to see him finish with another, and that finish with another big game. And plus the Seattle Seahawks, I think they're number four in fantasy points allowed, fourth most fantasy points allowed to running backs this year. So, and they just got, I mean, the Steelers just ran all over them last week. So this could be a strangely very competitive game. Plus, you know, Kyler Murray's been playing better of late. I mean, he had a good game against Philadelphia last week. Yeah, get Trey McBride in your line, in your DFS lineups this week. But you know what? I'm going the home team on this one. I think they're gonna spoil some things. I think they're gonna spoil it for Seattle.
Man, you know what? I'm kind of with you because Seattle's just not that good of a team. And it's funny, like we talk so much about the offense, and they're a mess on third down. And I think structurally, it's weird how they have all these great receivers, but it's not like they put anybody in a position to really win, right? It's a lot of like perimeter route. It's like a lot of stuff outside the numbers, very, very like high spread formations. They don't like bunch anybody up, get these guys free releases. They ask them to just kind of win one-on-one matchups, which, you know, in theory they can do. They have really good players, but at the same time, like, let's help these boys out a little bit, man. Like, come on, you know what I'm saying? So I don't love the way the offense has been structured this year. I think Geno has played fine football. His pressure numbers on third down are like outrageous. And it's weird. Like, it's just kind of a simple case of when they can get guys blocked up on critical downs like that, this can be a good offense. And when they can't, it's a mess. At the same time, though, it's nothing compared to what a mess that defense is, Jorge. And like, this is a group they've invested in. They have theoretically a lot of good young players, but like, Tariq Woolen has regressed. Devon Witherspoon is good, but he's been kind of off and on the field this year. That's a group that I feel pretty bad about in this game. And, you know, Kyler Murray just showing last week that, like, when the matchup is there, he can have a big performance. I'm with you. I think the Seahawks are firmly on upset watch, and I definitely think they're in, like, let's have a come to Jesus moment in the offseason about why this season was so disappointing.
Yeah, and I don't think you can lay everything down at Geno Smith on this one, because the defense really let them down. I mean, one of the big investments that they made in the last offseason was to try and upgrade their run defense, and that just fell apart this year. So there's going to, you know, Pete's going to have to figure something out there. And that's on the defensive side, which is supposed to be his calling card. So
exactly.
Maybe beef up some more, because they didn't just build up their defense. They built up their defense to compete with the 49ers. And as we've seen, they did not come close this year. I mean, they didn't even, I think if they lose this game, they could go 0-6 in the NFC West, if I'm correct.
That's not where you want to be if you're the Seattle Seahawks. I think, okay, yeah. So they lost to the Rams in the opener. They beat the Cardinals last time they
They did. Okay.
20-10 though, not that big of a convincing win, and that was still in the pre Kyler Murray era. They lost twice to the Rams, they lost twice to the Niners. So if they lose this game, they'll come out with just one win on the Josh Dobbs led Arizona Cardinals. So not a great season for Seattle, that's for sure. A couple of teams that have not been fun watches this year. Our next game up here and our final game in the It Matters category for the stream games, Atlanta Falcons at New Orleans Saints. Saints are 3-point home favorites, 42.5 point over under. Again, this is huge if Carolina beats Tampa Bay in this game. And by the way, this game will be going on at the same time, so they won't know going into it what the stakes are. So you just got to operate as if it's a win and in type of situation, because basically if Carolina upsets Tampa Bay, it will be a win and in situation. Atlanta's only path to the playoffs is the AFC South title. So again, they will be eliminated if Tampa Bay wins. But this is a de facto NFC title game. The Saints can still make a playoff run via the wild card, but they need, you know, Seattle to lose to Arizona. They need Green Bay to lose to Chicago. Yeah. They won't know about those prior either, because those are 425 games. So I don't really need to see either of these teams in the playoffs, if I'm being honest with you, Jorge. So I'm hoping the Bucs get the job done. Yeah. But anything on this one for you?
You know what? The Saints really showed up on defense last week, and except for a couple breakdowns there at the end, they had been getting beat both against the run and the pass lately. So maybe they're able to, you know, kind of hold serve in this one. You know, on the Falcons. So I think a lot of people are putting a lot on Arthur Smith, and he's not with, you know, he's a lot of faults should go his way, but they didn't get the quarterback right. And I think that there's a part of me that wonders if they'd traded for Lamar Jackson, how different things would have been for Drake London and for Kyle Pitts this year. So one of my cousins loves to say, don't say if, don't say if in football or fantasy football. So, I'll hold that one off, but yeah, I think this one's going the Saints way. I think they're going to make just enough plays in this one to win it.
Yeah, because they probably have to go back to Desmond Ridder in this game with Taylor Heinicke banged up. Will the Atlanta Falcons? So I'm with you. I think the Saints are just a slightly better team than the Falcons right now. Weird but true. This game also plays a major factor in the second overall pick situation. So this comes from Steve Kornacki, who you know Steve Kornacki works for NBC. Does all the permutations on the playoffs. That's light work compared to what he needs to do on election night. So this is mere warm up for Steve for what he's got to do on election night here later this year. If New England and Washington are both 4-13. This game determines the tiebreaker for the number 2 overall pick based on strength of schedule tiebreaker. If New Orleans wins, Washington gets the second overall pick. If Atlanta wins, New England gets the second overall pick. So very weird stuff there. I don't know about you, Jorge, but I need Drake May in Washington so bad, because I need Terry McLaurin to have like a promising quarterback. Okay. Like a real true. I mean, we had some moments with Sam Howell this year where like, okay, could he be something? But I think he's just a backup quarterback in the NFL, and that's perfectly fine. Okay. All Sam Howell bros can stand down, get the F out of my mentions. He's a good backup in the NFL, Ryan Fitzpatrick type. That's what I've said all along, but we need like a true blue solution here. Drake May can be that. At the same time though, look, and I haven't done prospect work yet, but by all accounts, Marvin Harrison is that guy at the wide receiver position. I need something to work out here with this number 2 overall pick situation where we get Drake May to Washington. Like I said, I need or Caleb Williams. I don't care. Whatever. Right. But I do really like Drake May. I need a quarterback in Washington. That needs to happen. I need Marvin Harrison in Arizona, though. OK, because this is the best receiver prospect we've had in a minute. All right. I don't need, allegedly, I haven't done the tape work myself. So let's just live in the world where I agree with that. And I probably will. I'm sure I will. I'm kind of nervous. Like if Perception didn't like Marvin Harrison, do we have to close shop? That's a topic for another day.
Oh, I don't think you're going to. I don't think you're
going to. I don't think so either. I don't think so either. But like, I don't need this guy catching one pass from Bailey Zappi ever. Okay. I don't need him catching one pass from Mac Jones or any other like. Are the Patriots, they don't have a path to a quarterback? I mean, maybe they take Jaden Daniels. I don't know how this is all going to happen, but, like, I don't need some veteran solution coming in here passing to Marvin Harrison, right? let's get him with the real guy. I think Kyler Murray's a guy. I don't know. A lot of stuff at stake here.
Also, root for Michael Penix to have a big game against Michigan. So maybe he'll throw his name into the ring there to get in there. Yeah, I mean, yes. Let's hope that Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix, those guys have just fantastic combines so that we go quarterback, quarterback, quarterback with the first three. And then I think what number four is potentially Arizona.
Arizona, so, yeah.
Unless Arizona screws up and wins this week, and then they could,
which they might,
kind of throw things off. Do we have to change our vote right now so that we can get Marvin Harrison Jr. to Arizona?
We might. I don't know. Man, my heart is in so many different places. I just, again, I need Washington. I mean, let's go Saints, baby. I need Washington in the second overall pick. I need them to get a quarterback here. I need some of these receivers to really finally be paired. Like, it's just a career rebirth. You deserve that, Terry McLaurin. You deserve that. All right. On that note, let's move into the stream category games. It matters, but does it? Because the LA Rams are taking on the San Francisco 49ers. When I grouped them in here, I thought maybe somebody would be trying in this game. Seems like nobody's really trying in this game. We're going to get Sam Darnold versus Carson Wentz. What a weird multiverse we're living in where that's a reality. So I don't know if we have anything really to say on this game, but it is worth noting that the Rams clearly don't give a damn about the 6th or 7th seed, because that is still in play here. A win locks them into the 7th seed. A win locks them into the 6th seed. A loss likely puts them at 7. So they clearly are like, yeah, we don't care. Lions, Cowboys, whatever. Bring them on. Let's do it. They don't care. I guess we don't care either.
Well, you know what? There's one guy that we care about this weekend. It's Puka and the Puka Nacua.
Yes, this is true.
He is going. I think he's 3 receptions away from tying Jalen Waddle for the rookie record, and he's about 30 yards away from getting the rookie receiving record. Bill Grohman in 1960. So,
1960.
In 1960, that's prehistoric times for
that was
for
when Andy Behrens turned 20 years old. 1960.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, we love Andy. But yeah, I mean, we look, Puka break those. Well, Sean McVay also came out and said in the LA Times today and also in The Athletic that he is going to, that once Puka gets those records, he's coming off the field. He's going to be in a baseball cap on that one. But you know what? McVay did so much magic with Baker Mayfield last year to kind of resuscitate him, at the end of the season. Could he do, if he does this with Carson Wentz, they should change his name to the Miracle Worker. So, but
so true.
One little note about, you were talking about the Rams not caring about playoff seeding. Matthew Stafford has interesting matchups either way, because if it's Dallas, he gets to go home. He grew up in the shadow of Jerry World there in Dallas, in the Dallas Arlington area with his good buddy Clayton Kershaw. And if it's Detroit, his history would be, probably being the best quarterback in Detroit's history, and I think he's still beloved there. So, that could be a lot of fun.
Fun matchups either way for the Rams. I know maybe I'm in the minority here, but I almost don't want to see the Lions Rams matchup. I'm probably in the minority there. It's just, there's so much history. So too awkward for me. Too awkward. Let's see the Cowboys Rams shootout. That's actually the matchup I'd like to see. Although we'd probably get a nice little shootout between the Lions and Rams too. I'm with you. Puka probably going to play. I mean, he is going to play. That has been made clear. Just enough to get those records. I will say, and I probably shouldn't even put this in the air, but I'm going to do it anyways. Like, when we're trying to talk about getting Puka Nacua these records, let's not do it on like little designer plays where we're putting him in a position to take big shots. Okay. Yeah. I'm talking like, let's get him on those early season Puka Nacua, like big over routes, post routes, stuff like that. Put him in the slot. I don't care. Cause sometimes when we're trying to get a catch records for a guy, we're doing these little design touches things, and Puka, man, he just takes big shots. I don't want him suffering any injuries before the playoffs. Okay. And this guy that had an injury history in college. So I'm going to be kind of holding my breath, be a little tight here until we see Puka off the field, man. But I do want to see him break those records, cause that would just be awesome.
Yeah, I still have, PTSD from last year watching Mike Williams, play in a game that didn't matter.
Oh, yes.
And then knocked him out of the playoffs. So hopefully, hey, a lot of catching the ball, get out of bounds, catch the ball, you know, three catches, 10 yards each, get out of bounds each time, put a baseball cap, take the shoulder pads off at halftime. Yeah. You know, go have a party.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of sickos that are interested in the Carson Wentz Darnold battle. That is for damn sure. All right. Next game up here, Eagles Giants. Eagles are 5.5 point favorites going to take on the Giants. The Eagles can win the NFC East with a win and a Dallas loss. But the team has already kind of hinted at resting starters. Feels like they know that Washington is going to take the L this week.
Yeah, I think they'll probably do some. They'll probably do enough to win this one. I mean, of course, they on Christmas Day they barely beat the Giants at home.
And Tyrod gave him a push.
Yeah, and does Tyrod do it again? Sneaky DFS play this week. Him and Darius Slayton. If you want to load up with Amon-Ra St. Brown and Justin Jefferson in one of the other games, but I mean, after he threw for over 300 yards last week, maybe he does it again in this one with Philadelphia, maybe sitting its guys at some point, because it may not be Devonta Smith this week. And maybe Dallas Goedert has himself a game before going out, but yeah. Philly's looking at that. I think what that fifth seed, and taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, and things are just not great with Philly right now. A lot of weird vibes. A lot of bad stuff on the defense. So can't feel too great about them heading into the playoffs. A big win would be nice, but yeah, I do think Tyrod could give him a little bit of a push here. He's playing well. He's playing for like his career, man. I mean, that's just like how it is when you're a backup quarterback. Next game, final game in the stream category, Minnesota Vikings at Detroit Lions. The Lions are 3.5 point favorites, 45.5 point over under. It's not 100% chance, but pretty close to 100% chance that Detroit is essentially locked into the number three seed. Minnesota, on the other hand, 3% playoff odds right now. They need kind of a little bit of a miracle to get in here. They need, this is the following things that the Minnesota Vikings need to happen. They need to win, which we'll see if the Lions, are they're going to play their guys or not, but they need to win this game. Then they need Green Bay to lose to Chicago. They need the Seahawks to lose to Arizona. They need the New Orleans Saints to lose to the Atlanta Falcons or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to lose to the Carolina Panthers. So a lot of stuff riding on Nick Mullins's Minnesota Vikings playoff run here. I don't know if they can get all that. And frankly, I think that the Vikings team does kind of feel like a group that had some moments, but have kind of run out of gas here at the end of the season.
Yeah, I think they ran out of gas last week. The Jaren Hall experience was just, it was an experiment that blew up. And I'm glad that they went back to Nick Mullins on this one. But yeah, I don't know how much juice they're going to have left. And Detroit is going to be, if they're really playing for their guy, playing their guys right now, it's going to be Detroit. Though this could be a sneaky shootout if Nick Mullins just gets his Mad Bomber hat on and he's just throwing to Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison all day long. So that to me is one thing that I'm going to keep an eye on. But yeah, I mean, can you imagine, like I was talking earlier about Tyrod Taylor and maybe Darius Slayton, but yeah, you go cheap on those guys in DFS and then you load up on Justin Jefferson and Amon-Ra St. Brown in this game. That could be pretty tasty on the DFS side.
Yeah, I'm going to be hitting some Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison overs in this game from a prop bet. 86.5 for Justin Jefferson, 49.5 for Jordan Addison, because TJ Hockenson, obviously. I love the Mad Bomber, Nick Mullins, that he is the Mad Bomber against what might even be like a, I mean, imagine how bad the Lions defense is, like with its starters. They might be playing some backups at some point in this game. Geez. So I love the Minnesota Vikings passing overs in this game. I mean, shoot, even old buddy Nick Mullins there, 267.5 yards. I mean, you could bet the over on that and the over on 1.5 interceptions at plus 170 on BetMGM, baby.
Do it, dude. Parlay, baby. Parlay those two. It's gonna be
bet the mortgage on the 267.5 yard over and the 1.5 interception over for the under. By the way, this is hilarious. The under on Nick Mullins 1.5 interceptions is -250. I don't know about that. Okay.
Wow. That's a big number. Yeah. Parlay it, get yourself a condo in Cabo San Lucas so you could go there in the winter. Yes, all day long.
All right, 1 hour into the podcast, Jorge, this brings us to the skip category, and these games are very skippy. I mean, we'll be talking about a Blaine Gabbert team here in just a second, but we are going to end the podcast on a nice note. For the eliminated teams in these games, we're going to say one nice thing about them as we end the season here for some of these groups. So starting with Kansas City Chiefs at LA Chargers, Jorge, say one nice thing about the LA Chargers as their season ends here.
Feed Austin Eckler, get him that incentive that I think he needs 110 yards. So yeah, let Austin Eckler just run all day long against the secondary, against the backups for the Chiefs.
I'm with you. Eckler hits his incentive bonus. That'd be great to see. He can use a little extra cash here as the season ends. Why not? All right. Yep. Next game up here, Cleveland Browns at Cincinnati Bengals. Browns, we don't need to say anything nice about. They're starting Jeff Driskel, who I didn't even, you know, I mean, he's going to add another name to the Browns, like giant weirdo quarterback jersey thing that they got going on there. Jeff Driskel, who was tight end eligible, I think, on Yahoo a couple of years ago. Like, he's starting in this game, but he's only starting in this game because you can't subject the hottest quarterback in the NFL to hits in a needless game in Joe Flacco. So the Browns, they got good things coming up for them. We know their situation. Jorge, say one nice thing about the Cincinnati Bengals as their season comes to a close.
Jake Browning's going to go for another 300 yards. Why not? Let's just throw it out there. Maybe it'll be to T. Higgins as T. Higgins looks to get a pay raise. There's a part, I know he's back to practice, but there's a part of me that says sit down Jamar Chase just to, you know, get him healthy, not risk any further injury. So, but yeah, maybe that was more than one nice thing, but yeah, Jake Browning.
T. Higgins, you know, is unfortunately coming off a 19-yard game. He's got a hamstring injury right now. He could really use like one more nice game to end the season before he maybe goes into free agency or as a tag and trade option, whatever. But right now he is finishing the fantasy season as wide receiver 46 behind Josh Downs, Rashid Shaheed. Ooh. The GOAT Curtis Samuel. I mean, that's not the season that T. Higgins thought he was going to have. So maybe he has one big moment here before the year ends. Next one up here, New York Jets at New England Patriots. We could say one nice thing about the Jets if we want, Jorge, but I will just say this from a Patriots standpoint. Bill Belichick is almost certainly sending you a goodbye letter with a win against the Jets in week 18. Like, that's going to be his goodbye present to you. He loves to beat the Jets. You know, he's not a tank guy. Somehow, some way, Patriots win this game.
Yeah, just all of a sudden push him back a couple of slots in the NFL draft. Yeah,
why not?
Just do it all day. So yeah, saying a big adios that way. But maybe Breece Hall has another big game. He's already predicted that he's going to be an All-Pro next year. So that's good true. For him. Good for him. So yeah, that'll be one nice thing. And since you know, we talked about Mo Castillo, big Jets fan, so we want to see him happy too.
Yes, that would be nice. Although I think if you're a Jets fan at this point, you've gone past the point of ever hoping for happiness. You found something else to make. At least I hope you found something else to
make. It's baseball season for them.
It is baseball season. All right, final game in the Week 18 schedule, Denver Broncos at Las Vegas Raiders. There's nothing at stake here. Both these teams are eliminated from the playoffs. One of them is playing Jarrett Stidham. The other is Antonio Pierce trying to get the head coaching job. Did get an endorsement. I think the one nice thing for the Raiders, got an endorsement from Davante Adams, did Antonio Pierce, which, hey, that's good. Like, if I'm Mark Davis, I'm like, I don't care about anything else. I'm listening to what Davante Adams wants, and I'm just going to go ahead and, like, if I can keep him around for this rebuild, keep him engaged in the process, I'll just go ahead and give Antonio Pierce a head coaching job. That's one nice thing we can say about the Raiders, that they got a nice little something down here with Antonio Pierce. I think he probably should be their permanent head coach, start the rebuild process with some good players on offense. So with that, Jorge, to end the podcast, to end the Week 18 preview, say one nice thing about the Denver Broncos.
Ooh, wow, that one's... the toughest question of the day. The one nice thing, I hope Cortland Sutton plays to get another touchdown. So that's going to be the one nice thing that I could say.
Cortland Sutton right now is sitting on 86 targets, 58 catches, 770 yards, but usually it's like, and touchdowns, but 10 touchdowns. Yes. So it was quite a wild season for Courtland Sutton, who ended up outkicking his ADP by quite a bit. He is the wide receiver 32 in fantasy football, just ahead of Chris Godwin, Tyler Lockett, and Justin Jefferson at wide receiver 38. All right, so that's it. That's our Week 18 preview. Jorge, I especially appreciate you being the co-host on this particular episode, because Week 18 is weird, it's wild, but it was a lot of fun to have you, man.
Oh, it's always a good time. Gosh, it's always such a good time, amigo. This has been fun. So anytime to chop it up with you beforehand with producer Colin, just a blast. And so happy to be a part of the team.
Appreciate you, Jorge. Everybody, make sure you're following Jorge on all social media platforms. Make sure you're checking out his work here at Yahoo Fantasy and that he's doing abroad in the fantasy community. He's a gem. Love Jorge. Very happy he is on the team here at Yahoo. Very, very, very happy about that. Also happy for Week 18, man. I think it's going to be so much fun. I hope you all out there find a way to enjoy it, even though fantasy football is over. Talked about some DFS stuff here today. Talked about some prop bets. But hey, man, just enjoy some good but weird football. That's what Week 18 has in store for us. Next time you hear from us, the playoff field will be set. A lot of eliminated teams will have some coaching vacancies. They'll be cleaning out some locker rooms. I mean, man, it is that time of the year. Starting next week, pods are going to drop on Monday and Thursday afternoons. On Monday, Andy Behrens joins me for the Yahoo Fantasy Football Show Award Show. We hand out our fantasy awards. Some are going to be straightforwards. Others, I mean, it's Andy Behrens, you know, not so much straightforwards. Until then, we're out.